You know, I liked, who was it that said that people are like radios and that we're transmitters? Was that you or was that you?
That was me.
Oh, this so poetic, 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 beautiful thing that you said yesterday during the pirate radio hour that we had talking. Yeah, that people like radios are poets like radios are transmitters. And that definitely resonates with me and the kind of performance that I do and the way that I want to do my performance. And then I'm trying to transmit messages and, I don't know, inspiration and, you know, resonate that out into the world. And then whoever could pick it up can pick it up. Like, so I guess radio is not that different from an event, except I get to, like, probably talk to a couple of people after the event. But the moment of performance is the same, is that, like, there's sort of anonymous people receiving it in any way that they want. And I just trust that I'm sending out a transmission from, like, a deep and authentic place on my own. And that's the best that I could hope for.
Hey, transmission time. Would someone else like to get on the mic?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, how about you? Tell me about that metaphor. That was such a beautiful metaphor. How have you thought about poets as radios or being a conduit? Tell me more about that, Reg.
Okay.
I should say that this is my dream come true to be on the radio here. This is something I've always wanted to do. So thanks, Ron, for making my wish come true.
Oh, gee.
The allusion was to Jean Cocteau's film Orphée, in which poetry comes through the radio. And that metaphor is used by the San Francisco poet from the 1950s and 60s named Jack Spicer, who imagined poetry as as coming from elsewhere, and that what the poet did was merely offer him or herself as a transmitter or a conduit for that poetry, which is the Orphic idea of poetry as well. You can also find that in Rainier Marie Rilke's Sonnets to Orpheus, in which the inspiration is, he says, his line in that poem is, he likens it to a wind from the god, a gust. So that was the sort of idea that Spicer was working with too, that these things blow through you. I had a similar apprehension or a similar insight when I saw Etta James, the great singer. When I saw Etta James sing, I also felt that she was sort of standing there still with very little affect or look on her face. She had a kind of a faraway look in her eye, and this incredible sound was coming out of her voice. And I thought, first thing I thought of was that Rilke thing about a gust, a wind from the god, sort of just blowing right through her body. Yeah. Somebody else?
Is Etta in the house, or? She is. We're channeling Etta, folks.
You gotta come closer.
Hey, so I do.
It's a tangled mess here.
What a tangled web we weave.
Yes, yes.
All right, somebody asked me a question. I don't like shooting straight from the hip like this.
Go ahead.
From the hip.
What is your favorite thing to do with your hips? Other than shooting. Or maybe, no, I shouldn't exclude anything.
I'm not going to expand on that metaphor.
He's doing it now.
On the air.
Did we
salsa?
Mention those 10 people?
My angry love poems, Matthew.
Yeah, go for it, Matthew.
Andrew's asking me why angry love poems, which was the title of my chapbook of disobedience. I think angry love poems, which was kind of like the subtitle. I use the phrase angry love poems to sort of like phrase out like, I think what I would call as anarchist joy, which is kind of like a hope for a future that we are striving towards, but a general frustration with the future that we are presented with. So we are engaged in this like tension of like loving the world, but it's still like a frustration. What's his name? Antonio
Bonanno.
Bonanno, yeah. He refers to that in his essay, Armed armed joy, which is that sensation of, you know, you maintain that internal joy within yourselves, mm-hmm. but still like, and but still going to bed at night with the notion that this is not good enough. Mm-hmm. So it is a way of like carrying out I hesitate to use the word militancy for obvious connotations, but a discipline of trying to bring about the philosophy that you truly believe in the world, which is one of the things I really appreciate about anarchism. For that is the actual, you know, our politics and our process reflect our overall end goal, and like we work towards utopia, and we try to live in that utopia, in particularly like in the creation of autonomous spaces like this radio, for example. Okay, I think I said enough there.
You said lots. Lots of good stuff, yeah. Someone else, I know that's a tough act to follow, but someone else want to chime in here?
All right.
Twist my arm, man.
All I took was a look.
As the bodies shift.
You poetic. This is my pirate name is Emma P.
Emma B. Yeah, welcome.
I don't know, Marion. What should I do?
Where does your name come from, Emma?
Oh,
Emma P.
As a radical pink panther, a great queer anarchist movement.
Woo.
Originated in Paris, spread to Montreal, and now in Portugal, and spreading to the queer eruption, queer revolution, that worldwide. I took on my pirate name, which was originally my panther name, so maybe it's my pirate panther name. Emma, from the inspiration of a woman who speaks to my heart, Emma Goldman, and then Pantoufle is my P name, which is the French word for slipper. And if you say slipper eater in French, it's kind of like a carpet muncher. So it's kind of like bringing my feminist anarchist together with my carpet munching, muff munching tendencies, and bringing it out to the world and covering our faces like the Zapatistas to show that we could be anyone and we could be you and we could be someone else tomorrow, and bringing a bit of a different fun way of organizing to the streets and to different spaces within queer circles, within anarchist circles, and bringing a bit of creativity out. That's Emma P, and now all I get to be Pirate Emma P on Tar Radio, which I feel like I was the midwife to, with Pirate M, bringing it into the world, that moment of joy where she screamed out crying and we all jumped for joy and felt like we had created something like sound through the air that then came out of these little black boxes. So yeah, Pirate Emma P definitely comes out now and then to play on the airwaves.
And now on Tree Frog Radio.
Now on Tree Frog
Radio.
Yeah,
Pirate Emma P in the house.
Emma P in the house. So maybe, yay. Maybe the someone behind me here, I hear, oh, Larry? No, oh, not Larry. We got Roger Fogg. Roger.
Roger, not Bob, but me. Hey, Roger.
That's Jolly Roger, please. Under the banner of King Death. Damn, it feels good to be a pirate.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be really quick. When Reg was talking about Orpheus, it reminded me of something I popped in my head about this weekend, which was that in the Inferno, when Virgil first enters hell, he looks around and sees all these great people, his friends, and says, I did not know hell had undone so many. And he says it with glee when he sees all these conspirators in hell. So I feel like that's where I am right now, in this kind of joyous hell.
Pandemonium.
Yeah, one of the things I was just thinking about was the important concept for anarchists and free spirits is the notion of affinity. And affinity is used to think about how we organize ourselves and how we relate to one another. But I think that before anyone calls themselves an affinity group, they should lock themselves into a really small room with a bunch of people they spent the whole weekend with, and see if they're still laughing, and see if they still love the warmth of the person next to them. And so it's been good to kind of feel that warmth, good bodies and good minds. So I'm going to sign off there.